You know when you have a new pair of shoes or a new, I mean, many of us don't get a new vehicle per se, but when something you have something new and all of a sudden you see it everywhere, wow, hey, they've got a Kia, whatever, right? Oh, look at those shoes, ooh, whatever. The same belt, same phone. I'm seeing patience or impatience everywhere. Our group is studying the fruit of the Spirit on campus. And of all the fruit so far, patience was standing very strong in my face from the Lord. And so I'm constantly going along, and I'm about to go, somebody cutting in front of me, and I'm like, patience. My kids used to sing a song with someone from Wood Green Church. We stayed at their place, and it was, be patient, don't be in such a hurry. You know the quote from patience, Lord, give me patience, but not yet, or hurry up. One theologian actually says this a little more eloquently, if my phone will work properly here. He says, we applaud patience, but prefer it to be a virtue that others possess. For sure. What has struck me about the fruit of the Spirit is that often we talk about the fruit of the Spirit from the human perspective, where we go with it. We'll say God is really patient, and then God does certain things through the Spirit, and then how can we be patient? So it moves quickly to ethical concern. But I've thought for today to do an extended reflection on 3 Peter verse 9, and this is also including Galatians 5:22. It is the fruit of the Spirit, not just the fruit of the Spirit, but the Spirit's fruit for us as we develop, yes, but the Spirit is full of patience. God is patient. So I wanted today, from that verse, I'll read it, and then we'll talk about the grand scope of patience from creation to restoration. But we won't do that. It won't be hours, don't worry. It will be within the limits of our patience. Sorry, that's a good one. What's in I'm looking at 2 Peter 3 verse 9. In the context, there's a lot going on, but I'm going to focus in on one little part, and then Galatians 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience. But mostly on 2 Peter, it's an extended reflection. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promises, some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should come, should reach repentance. And there's a lot there that we could unpack. I'm not going in one direction. I'm focusing on the fact that it says the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, but is patient toward you. Let's pray. Lord, give me strength, give me your grace. Your word is a lamp to our feet. It can never go void. So no matter what happens, we know that when your word is preached, that your Spirit is with us and helping us to understand this incredible library called your word, with so many different genres, backgrounds, difficulties, challenges, and yet such an incredible, simple message and deep message. A message of creation and recreation, a message of a redemption, a message of corruption and broken world, and yet you are coming, Lord. And so may we hear today the promises you have, and from beginning to the end, that you are with us and you are patient. In Christ we pray. Amen. Have you noticed that impatience reigns? Billboards, I could belabor this, but I don't usually get too many comments about, yeah, most of us are pretty patient. I mean, even just driving here, people cut in front of you, you're on edge. I'm on edge half the time. Even in the sense of how we spend our money, right? It's so easy to put it on credit. It's so easy to get so far behind. And so there's all sorts of ways that impatience reigns. And yet God is not in a hurry and has a long view plan. The fruit of the Spirit is patience. Notice that is the fruit of the Spirit. God is patient. My challenge, maybe your challenge, is I pray personally for the fruit of Spirit patience, but I am impatient. And I forget God isn't in a hurry. I want an interventionistic God. I want one like a vending machine. Not really, but this is my sinful heart pulling. If I can just say it and it comes, if it just happens. And this is the challenge, that God is not in a hurry. There are issues of impatience that affect us knowing God. I'm calling them a few different misreadings. The first one I would call, if I can read my writing, I'm going to need glasses here soon, self-centered misreading. A self-centered misreading. It's by taking an individualistic starting point. It's over-personalizing God. Or God is aloof. Either way, impatience is reigning. Why? God didn't act fast enough. Or, since he's not going to act, I guess I can't trust him. So even there is embedded impatience, a self-centered misreading. Or let's say a consumer misreading, where we're always starting with ourselves or myself and bringing my impatience to the text. I want it to say to me what it needs to say and not taking the patient time, the years of reading to try to understand. It's a library. Can you imagine going to your first class in psychology, engineering, any subject area, and thinking you have it all and you're going to get it now? It takes a while to understand. In the text, I often come with a deep impatience, a consumer reading. I read things for the bullet points. I read for quickness. I want it to happen now. And this is not the way the Lord works. There's a book called A Long Obedience in the Same Direction, and the emphasis in that book is long. It's a long obedience. How about one more misreading is a cultural misreading. We've been influenced by this for a while, maybe even the 18th century, when the deists were reigning and really the one who says that God starts up the world, but then kind of has backed away and is away from the world. We have another way of this problem now, what they call moral therapeutic deism, and that's basically God is just there when I need God. Kind of, for lack of a better term, a sugar daddy, someone who's just there for you, but not also one who can call you and challenge you to become a different person. And unfortunately, there was actually, even in our own tradition, in the 1800s, where hyper-Calvinism, and the idea that God is so sovereign that we are not responsible. There's this sense that God is like an aloof judge. And there were so many struggles and conversations about this that people just said, they swung to the other extreme. God is just right here, and is so personal and causing so much issue. And that's why Scripture, the truth is in the tension, the paradox of what the Scripture teaches. God is so beautifully sovereign, and yet we are responsible, and we don't always know how to put those together. But a cultural reading would be, well, if this is how God treats me. Or God has left the building again. Or maybe back in the day when Jacob laments in Genesis, he says, everything is against me. Or I just invoke God only when it suits my personal goals. Scripture, the attributes of God, can provide an antidote to what I would call a charitable reading, a long view reading, a reading where we look at the text, we let it soak, we let us teach us, let us show us the way, it engages us, and the Spirit is working. We wade through the library of the teaching. We see different parts of it. We see the challenges. Most of the challenges I have in conversation with students relate to a quick reading of the Bible. Like, look what it says. And rather than letting it just soak in and become part of our thinking. It's part of the Bible's reading for us is Jewish meditative literature is one level where it actually is supposed to soak in. We're supposed to wrestle with the text. It's supposed to teach us. It's a lamp. It shows us things, but not quick answers. It's not an encyclopedia. You just turn to a page. It takes more to that. So an antidote to this kinds of reading is the attributes of God, and really that God, the whole story is framed with this background virtue that God is patience. We find truth in the tension of the text, the paradox of faithfully interpreting this rich library. You can see Mark Jones for more on the attributes of God. We're only going to focus on patience today. But his book, God Is, has lots of wonderful things to chew on. Also, the Bible Project, I commend to you with different things to help us become much more faithful and reading the Bible, not like consumers. We're so quick to read into things, and it's such a challenge. But where do we even start? Where would you even start with the attributes? Well, we're going to do patience today, but really all the attributes. God is triune, simple, spirit, infinite, eternal, unchangeable in his being and wisdom, power. Like this is, where do you start with a God like this? You can't just take patience out of this God. God is always patient and always kind and always infinite. And it's supposed to drive us to what Bert was talking about this morning, the glory of God, the incomprehensible God, the God who is so patient with us. Let's trace it tonight. Let's resist these impulses that I mentioned and trace the patience of God in his story. This is a 5-point sermon, okay? But it's not going to be that long, don't worry. Remember last time I gave you a 7-pointer? And Wadia said, wow, you got done in 20 minutes. I can talk really fast. No, I'm just kidding. First, we see that patience is in the beginning. God is patient in the beginning. Imagine nothing. I don't know if you can imagine nothing, because we always have something. Jonathan Edwards talks about this. Whenever you imagine nothing, you're actually thinking of something. But imagine nothing, just God, 3-in-1. And then a brilliant world of colors and beauty that begins in an instant, but also in a process. Like Aslan singing the world into existence, the triune God calls this world into being. Galaxies, stars, plants, animals, and people. God lavishes patient love on creation. While God creates out of nothing, notice that God's story mostly works through secondary causes, which require patience, waiting. Through processes, trees grow, animals grow, people are born. Life is about waiting. Humans are given all they need, the time to enjoy their creator, and yet then loss occurs, corruption, rebellion. But when humans rebel and become corrupted, God's plan isn't thwarted. And God doesn't immediately end the problem. Here is maybe the first great act from the human perspective of God's patience, that God doesn't say, I'm done with this all. He continues on. He has a grand, majestic plan. We often think, why doesn't God do something? Maybe it's better that he didn't at that point, because we wouldn't exist. All the corruption that is seen by God, centuries go by, 1,000 years, and to our reading, the flood might look abrupt, but notice the patience. The flood occurs after hundreds of years. It's when you just dip in and read a story, it seems we don't feel the gaps between the Old and the New Testaments, the silent years. There were no prophets. But there are gaps all the way through Scripture. Time is plodding on, and God is so patient with people. As Mark Jones says, God's patience is, as far as sinners are concerned, a highly treasured attribute of God. Imagine all the things that God could see over the centuries. The hundreds of corruptions, violences, problems, challenges, everything that ever occurred from the beginning. And God continues to be patient, has a plan, and works that plan, and lets us come into existence. More and more people. The earth is filling, teeming with people. What patience in the beginning and onwards. As Psalm 86:15 says, but you, O Lord, are a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. People are so quick to turn to say, well, why isn't God doing this? And yet God, really, if we turn ourselves and look upward for a moment, God's patience is beyond comprehension. So we need to seek to resist the propensity to see God as a hasty judge. God isn't just zapping people, doing things. Like the misconceptions I hear from people, talking to an atheist a little while back, and the misconceptions are so deep. And they have a defeater belief. They basically, that it's in the way. They won't give the text a chance. They won't listen. Well, if God is like this, so hasty. The impatience of human beings. Imagine if the only sin that we would all be judged for is impatience. Do you know anyone who hasn't been impatient, even today? It's one thing to do like have you murdered someone today? Probably not, hopefully. Maybe in our minds, maybe. But I mean, patience, impatience, just for a brief second, even just a glimmer. And yet God has never, ever been impatient. And he is so patient with his people. If the children were here, I'd say, how many times is Brian using the word patient? There's a lot of patience. First, so we see that God has such patience in the beginning, and yet we also see, as the story unfolds and his promises come forward, that he has so much patience with his promises. He promises, but then it isn't an immediate fulfillment. It takes time. It takes a place of work. God works slowly. Abraham has promised to bless the whole world. All nations and all creation would be blessed. A Messiah would come. Yet we see this couple's impatience in trying to make God's promise come true. But how often haven't we tried to rationalize and think, the Lord must want me to do something? Remember Jeff talked about this a little while ago? And God might want us to do something. There are things we're supposed to do. But usually, like Naomi, the manipulation backfires. Think of when we try to manipulate and try to make things happen. And yet with all that happening, not just Naomi, think of all of us, think of every person. Now how many billion? Every person, many, many people trying to manipulate. God, if you do this, I'll do this. If you do, all at the same time trying to do this. And yet, God is patient. God is patient. The line of the Messiah is patiently building. When all seemed lost in Abraham and Sarah's old age, Isaac is born. And then the line of Jesus continues as they await the Messiah through judges, through kings. David comes along, the prophets, all this time. And so we see patience with the promises of God as God takes time in that. And third, we see patience in sending the Messiah. Our ways are truly not God's ways. Would we have enough patience to allow humans to develop as nations in the middle of rebelling from God over centuries until finally the time came, that amazing time is ripe for Jesus to be born? But think of the waiting. The people were waiting, and yet the patience of God, our own short-sightedness in waiting, okay, it was 3 minutes at this light. I mean, what's wrong with this light? It should be four, it should be five, or it should be less. It should be a minute. I'm here, it seems like eternity. Come on, internet page. It didn't go in 0.3 seconds, it went in 0.4. This is the human propensity. How about the cup? We want a cup. It's not going to come. We might be 70 or 80. We want a Stanley Cup, right? We want it now. We want McDavid to pull us all in 1 year, make it all happen. Those are lighter examples. Think of all the things that God had to bring into place to bring the Messiah to us, to his people, to bring us home. Patience. Oh, Lord, thank you. Fourth, we also see that the patience in Jesus' life and death. Really, we can have a nebulous sense of God out there, but then we can truly in Christ see that God's patience manifested on the earth. After thousands of years, he comes, not fully formed, but must grow up and in patience wait to fulfill his calling. Think of the patience of Jesus with his fallible parents, with siblings, with the neighbors, with the religious leaders, with his disciples, with people crowding him, with the sick, with all his responsibilities. And think of this person who is fully God and fully human, and how this works is a mystery. But he sees it all. Like a tooth exposed, the nerve is exposed. He feels it all. And yet, he has patience. He sees the challenges. He sees our corruptions. And yet, there he is. Surely he should just in one fell swoop end it all and bypass our human agency. Like one of my girls said a while ago, why doesn't Jesus just come? Doesn't he have enough people? It is so long to wait from a human perspective, and yet there he is with the utmost capacity of perfect humanity, and he waits. He plods, he walks around in a small country. Like a favorite quote that I hear so often, Jesus ruthlessly eliminates hurry. He doesn't hurry anywhere. No one can make him do the things and push him. He is just walking patiently around his small area. We think, call the world, Jesus, to peace, and in one shout, yet he walks around this small area and gives a glimpse of the kingdom, and we still follow him today among the billions who follow this man today. So, patience in his own life, and then in that giving of his life as well, which I won't focus on so much, but I mean, even then, his whole ministry, day by day, waiting and knowing a cross was coming, knowing the suffering he would face, knowing that it wouldn't just be a physical suffering, but the suffering beyond our comprehension as the Son of God, the patience of Jesus. And then he leaves us behind to be his change agents. God must be patient. Finally, we see patience until he returns. Truly, God is patient and will be with us to the end. We can say that, but sometimes it's hard to hang on. He puts up with so much corruption, we can hardly take it as years go by. Get the bad guys. And then we look in the mirror and realize, if not for his loving kindness, that beautiful word in Hebrew chesed, which is his covenant faithfulness, we wouldn't make it either. God can intervene and does intervene, but think of the world the way it would be. Two small examples. How are we doing? It says I started a workout. Isn't that funny? Oh, sorry. Two examples. I want to go golfing. Maybe some of you have heard this before. And talking about my impatience, but God being patient with me. The world isn't like this. I want to go, but Lisa doesn't want me to go, so the door won't open, right? But I smash the door, I go to my trunk, I rip. Like, God, if God kept intervening at every moment for the impatience of my life and would just be an intervening God that way, what world would we live in? But think of it worse. Think that you're a dictator, that you have charge of a lot of the world at this moment, Hitler or Mao Zedong. And so, now God is going to stop every evil thought starting. I mean, when does it start with Hitler? How early? Does he just take him off the earth? And then all of a sudden another one pops up. And so every single person in the world at the same time, God is stopping and stopping and stopping. That's not the world. That isn't even a real world. This is the patience of God in full motion. Because God could just say, this is horrendous. But the problem is that it goes through all of us. And that's why I'm so thankful, and we would be grateful to God for his patience. So I look in the mirror, I look at the world, all I love, and I say, oh Lord, thank you. You are so patient with us. You are not willing, wishing that any should perish, as Peter has said. And think of Peter. How much patience did Jesus need with Peter his whole life? And so then he writes that passage. God's patient, and he's so glad that God is patient. Till your people come home, keep working, Lord, but give us the patience. I understand the anger and the hurt as we see brutality and brokenness. And God does too, really, really does. The scripture says that in so many places. And maybe that question comes to you, and it does to me. Why doesn't God do something? But when would he stop? And what of how he uses his power? He would now just stop everyone, like every single bad thought you have or I have. So this is not the world. So the patience of God is even part of the way God has made the world with the humans as responsible agents. God somehow can bring responsible people and irresponsible people, impatient people, and his sovereignty can work all things for good. This is the God we serve. But if he wasn't patient, what other attributes would be gone? Patience undergirds love. Can you love without patience? Patience undergirds faith. Faith, hope, and love undergirds hope. I talked to Mark Jones about this. He said, really, this is one thing that started percolating the idea to even preach this sermon and then do the fruit of the Spirit. The patience of God is behind so many things. Thankfully, he didn't stop his son from doing the unthinkable, the most unjust act of all time. And so we sing hallelujah, what a savior, while we ask for patience, even though we're scared to ask for it. We do ask for it. And we ask for patience in reading scripture. We ask that people would give scripture a chance. That's why I've been trying to give out copies of the Gospel of Luke and say, hey, if you haven't read about Jesus at all? How would you expect to be part of Western culture at all? Like, you're telling people that you know what Jesus said and you've never read anything. Well, I've read Shakespeare. At least I can talk about Shakespeare, right? If you haven't read anything. So part of it is that people would have patience and not jump to conclusions and would be able to come and even come in here. And even ourselves, as we get impatient with our scripture readings, we will be digging into the Word of God, the lamp to our feet, that the mine, the treasure, for 1,000,000,000, how many years? And we will still be amazed. And maybe even then we'll see and sing, hallelujah, what a Savior. As we journey with others, as we fight the good fight until He returns, may He give us His patience, and He does, as His Spirit works in our lives. Amen. Let me pray. Your vast story, Lord, shows how patient You are with us, and we are so grateful. The images of hurting people, of violence, struggles all over the world, we weep with those who weep, Lord. We mourn, and we know You do intervene, but if You did intervene, O Lord, who would stand? The world would be over centuries, right at the beginning even. And so we live with the mystery that You are so patient and that You're bringing all Your people home. And we are so grateful that You would give us Your Son and give us the victory in Him, and that You have conquered death, Lord Jesus. And so help us to be Your people, to be patient with those around us, to be patient with those who don't know You, to be patient with our families, to be patient in our work. Give us the strength, Lord. Help us to be Your people. This is such a glaring need in our world. If we show patience, people will begin to see You. And so I pray for all of us in this. In Jesus' name, amen.